So good evening. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And tonight is a very, very special, you need a microphone, special evening with Dale Restigini, a.k.a. my man called Rage.
Hey, Noreen.
So thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. So before we get started, I like to talk about like my week, how my week went. So last week was an absolutely, for me, incredible week. I networked all week long. I met literally over 100 people. And I actually did get in touch with most of those people. But what I normally do is I will get in contact with the ones I like, the ones that I'm really not kind of too sure if I can do anything with. I just say, it was so great meeting you. I'll see you on the circuit again. Because the networking circuit, as you probably know in your business, is you see the same people over and over again, right? And so that was really good. And I went to the Stevie Awards. You know, I always think of Stevie Wonder, but no, it's not Stevie Wonder. The Stevie Awards, it was the 15th annual Women in Business Awards show. And one of the organizations that I am on the board, which is NABA, the National Association of Women Business Owners, they won an award for one of the best nonprofits in the country.
Wow. Fantastic.
So that was really great. And the food was really good. The people were good too, but you know, the food was really good. And then I met a really amazing woman who has healed herself from, she had concussion. And so she had brain injury, could not walk, became homeless, just was a complete and utter mess. Now she's like a multimillionaire. She's got like patent to a really amazing product and she actually healed herself. And so she, when she was going through the process, the doctor said to her, you know, this is how it's going to be for the rest of your life. And she was like, hell no, and actually healed herself. So she's one of the individuals that I want to be in contact with because she knows a lot about.
What was her injury? Or
brain injury.
Oh, wow.
She had a brain injury. She couldn't walk, couldn't talk, just couldn't do a lot of stuff and was bringing stuff. She was in a homeless shelter when she started her business and started curing herself. There are some amazing people out there.
Absolutely.
You know, so I just love meeting amazing people. And I am really, really happy to have you on the show because you're a pretty amazing guy.
I'm just a guy out here like everybody else.
I met you 20 years ago. I met you 20 years ago when you did your first film,
yes,
right?
21 years.
Was it Colors of Rage?
Yes, it was Colors of Rage.
It was 21 years ago when we were all young and tender.
I'm still young and tender.
Well, I'm a bit crispy these days. No, so, and you married one of my best friends.
Yes, I did.
Kim. We used to live in the same building together and we used to go roller skating.
Was she a good roller skater?
She was a great roller skater. And they terrorized me.
What was her best move?
No, she was just really good. She could twirl. She could dance. She could do all kinds of stuff. And you know what they did to me once? They had me roller skate all the way from Clinton Hill, Brooklyn to Central Park. Right? And I was not a good skater. Right? And they were like, come on, no, come on. And they would be like skating up there. And then they'd stop and like have me catch up. And I'm like toddling along. So we got to the park and there were hills. Right? And I had on this like baby doll. It was the time when baby doll dresses were out. So I had braids and I had on this checkered baby doll dress with little tiny shorts underneath. And we were roller skating in the park. And we got to about, I think it was around 72nd. And the hills took over. And I just went with the hills. I couldn't stop myself. I was screaming, help me. And you were like, Noreen, just hold on. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Excuse me. Because, you know, Central Park on a Sunday,
Do you remember this day?
And I remember it because I was the one that took and threw myself onto the grass to stop skating. It was the worst. But every Sunday they would say, come on, let's go skating. And then I would suffer. I would literally suffer because that's how we do it.
Well, that's why you're in shape now because of all
the skating. No, I am not in shape. I'm in a little bit of shape. But no, she was a great skater. We'd go night skating.
So I think it's time for a reunion.
Oh, no reunion. So anyway, you married Kim and I love Kim. I love Kim no matter what. So you're a very lucky man.
Yes, yes.
So, Dale, welcome to the show. And I would like you to start by telling us just a little bit. Introduce yourself to the listeners.
That's always like a big thing. You know, my name's Dale. I'm from Boston. I'm a filmmaker. I've been around the world.
You know, you can make it sexier than that.
You know, it's like, but then, yeah, you know, you come off as like, bragging and well, I've on done my a show, thousand videos. And
yeah, you have though. You're not bragging. I know, you've but done no, it. But it's, yeah. I didn't even count because I lost count at like 25. I was like, forget it. I'm not even going to count right. how many videos you've done. Like, really?
Well, I only started doing music videos after doing a couple independent films because when
but
I...
But let's start at the very beginning, right? Like, when you were coming up, what did you want to be? Like a lumberjack?
I didn't know.
I wanted to be a secretary.
I really didn't. I just knew... I didn't want to do something that was regular.
What was regular?
You know, like my dad, he was a construction worker and uh-huh. fireman. And uh-huh. I just every time I would go to the firehouse to see him or work on the job as a 8-year-old carpenter,
right.
I just knew after 2 hours of each one, I was okay, I can't do this for a living. It's just too mundane.
Were you a dreamer?
Always.
Right. So like you're banging something and 2 hours later, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so
let's
was,
go to the movies.
Yeah. Right. So what was the thing that the teacher said to you in school?
Oh, that I was a dreamer, that I couldn't focus, I was always in my head. But that's why I went to a vocational school so I could take commercial art. Uh-huh. So that was an excuse to draw and paint and just dream.
Right. They used to tell me to shut up talking.
No, you?
Yeah.
No. Talking too much?
Shut up. So you were a dreamer. And so like when you left school, you went to vocational college.
No, did that you, was high school.
That was high school?
Yeah.
Oh, you went to vocational college at high school? Or you took vocational classes?
No. In Massachusetts, mm-hmm. they have vocational high schools. So you can go to a regular high school, mm-hmm. or if you wanted to have a trade, like be an electrician or cosmetology or a health or
right.
food or,
right,
or art,
that stuff.
They had that as an option. So I went to a vocational high school and uh-huh. I took commercial arts. So
did you go to college?
No college.
And what was it that had you not go to college?
What like, was that?
Why didn't you not go to college?
I had a crazy childhood, uh-huh. so I've been to some interesting places. Uh-huh. So it was an option of just...
Were you naughty?
Very, very bad. Yeah. Yeah. So I've been to some interesting places, uh-huh. and then it was a matter of just focusing, realizing that after having a multitude of jobs, that uh-huh. that my passion was always art, and I eventually found my way writing screenplays mm-hmm. and then finding a way to make them. Mm-hmm. But along the way, I had literally 50, 60 jobs.
Right.
I used to be a male stripper. I all kinds of things. Yeah, yeah. So all between the ages of like 18 and like 22.
You're a male stripper.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because at one time when I went to go see Kim at her job when she was on Madison Avenue, uh-huh. one of the girls she worked with went up to her and asked her, say, is your boyfriend Dale? And then Kim walked up to me and said, do you know Debbie? No, did you fuck her?
Right.
And oh, I said her name on the yeah.
Okay, she's not listening.
Yeah. So anyway, so then I eventually found my way back to this world of art and dreaming.
Right.
In the form of screenwriting and
you were
directing.
Also a model.
Well, yeah, that's in the same world as stripping and male modeling and acting, because I get uh-huh. my Screen Actors Guild card back in 1995 mm-hmm. after acting in some films in Boston and New York. So, that whole section paved the way for me to eventually get behind the camera uh-huh. and then pursue what I pursue now.
And so, what was it like for you when you actually got behind the camera?
Was
it like, oh my God, I'm actually doing that thing?
Yeah, no, it was certainly that. I mean, when I first started doing it, people like Matty Rich, who did Straight Outta Brooklyn.
Matty Rich, yes.
He did Straight Outta yeah. Brooklyn. Ed Burns had did.
What happened to him?
Ed Burns had did a film called, Ed Burns film. What was his movie? Ed Burns. Mulholland. No. Something. And then, you know, there was another guy that did Fear of a Black Cat. And Babyface and his wife did a movie called Love Jones. They did a movie called, independent films were
that's
just
when you know you're getting old.
Thriving at the time.
Right.
And I said, you know what?
Those were all independent movies?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, all independent films.
Was Boomerang an independent movie?
No, that was a studio film. No, that was Eddie Murphy.
Okay, yeah. So that wasn't independent. Okay.
No, back
at the time. That's pretty good that all those were independent at the
time. Yeah, and but there were more as well, but that was the time in, because the early, the film that set independent films on the track that they got on was a film called Sex, Lies, and Videotape, which was James Spader. I forget who directed, but that film sort of set that whole World on Fire. And that was around the time when Sundance was brand new. Mm-hmm. All these things were brand new.
Right.
So I said, you know what? I have a story and it's interesting. And let me just, so I wrote it. And
Was the Colors of?
Colors of Rage.
Right. I saw that. Don't ask me what, I'd have to look it up again, but I can't remember what it's about. But I do remember going to the theater. Was it in 42nd? It was in Midtown somewhere.
Yeah, it was
somewhere.
At the Urban World Film Festival, which is in its second year at the time.
Right. And I remember going there and going, holy sugar, this cinema is crowded. It was absolutely, there was all kinds of people, but there was a whole boatload of black people.
Well, Kim was out there with me promoting it with flyers too. No, but it was a film festival.
And she can promote, honey.
Yeah.
She can promote. She got that bunny.
Yeah, yeah.
So you did this Colors of Rage, and you got the taste for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. At that point in time, it was just, I said, okay, this is for me. This is what I can put all my energy to, because it's one of those things where if you've got an abundance of energy and a massive desire for success,
right,
and you like telling stories and like movies, then why not do this for a living?
Right.
And again, having all this excess energy, it's like as much as you work, the more rewards you can reap.
Absolutely.
Because no one can tell you no. No one. There's no clock to punch. So it was basically, I realized, okay, this is what I this world of filmmaking best fits my skill set.
Right, because it allowed for the dreaming and the creating, right, and all of those stuff.
Right. So no boundaries. No holding me down, no holding, right, me back, none of that stuff. So
cool. And you could get your exercise in while you do it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So we're going to be right back on Beyond Potential with Dale Restigini.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So, and we're back with Dale Restigini. I'm not going to get your name messed up because I know your name. I have this habit of messing up people's names when they come on the show. And I usually say, if I haven't messed up your name, it's not a good show. But we're going to have a good show because I know your name,
yes,
and your
you
name is in my head for like a million years. So.
21 years.
Yeah. It feels like a million. You know, timeless. Time. We make time, right?
Yes, we do.
So now, Dale, you've been making a lot of videos, music videos. And most people, do they know the names of directors of videos? Or do we just watch them vicariously?
You
or?
Know what? It's funny. I think they do. But because there's so there's so many in the wake of social media and Instagram mm-hmm. and all these different platforms, there's a bazillion more directors, creative directors, photographers, models, artists, rock, rap, pop, punk, hip hop. Whereas when I first started out in the early 2000s doing music videos, my mm-hmm. first music video was 2003.
And what was that?
It was for a band called Hatebreed, which had a song on the XXX soundtrack.
Was it rock?
Yeah, it was hardcore rock, yeah. So back then, MTV and BET and VH1 actually put, you know, had your name on a chyron on the screen.
Right.
So it was kind of cool back then because...
Oh, that's right. They had the name of the video and then the director.
There was no YouTube. It didn't exist. There was barely internet. So so the only place to watch music videos was on TV.
Right.
So when you had a song in the top 10 on Access Granted or on Headbangers Ball or VH1.
Headbangers Ball. Is that still around?
Yes. Yeah, it's in a different form, but it's still around. So when you had two or three, it became a thing where you became a brand.
Right.
So for many years, it was Dale Restigini, and then eventually I got the nickname Rage, and then became Rage. So for many years, it was cool because that was the place where people would learn your name, labels, artists. But now in the ocean of social media, there's just so many people. It's sort of an ocean of just noise, both for the artists and for labels. And it's in a different form, but it still exists. So fortunately, I came up in a time where, you know, now... You know, I'm a brand where people know me.
Right.
And a lot of these new filmmakers, they find me on Instagram. I mentor some. I've mentored a lot of people who are making a lot of money right now, from editors to DPs on down. Yeah, some of my DPs are filming major TV shows and major motion pictures. So it's been a really nice, good situation where I learned and now I can help other people learn.
Nice. So now I want to know how you got the name Rage.
Well,
were you rageful?
I was always, you know, intense. I was always, but I got the name Rage because my company is called Raging Nation Films. Mm-hmm. I wanted something that would stand out. So Raging Nation, it was before Rough Nation, before Rock Nation, before all the different nations, we had Raging Nation Films. And
I do remember that.
Yeah, and then I was doing these rock videos. Mm-hmm. Very low budgets on film. This is before there was any digital cameras and prosumer digital cameras. So even low budget videos.
So let me just ask one question. So when you were making videos on film, it means you have to produce the film?
Yeah. You'd have to actually have to, you know, shoot on film. You'd have to have your AC, assistant camera person, change the mags on set, you know, and, right there.
And do you have to go produce it like in a dark room and stuff
like that? Yeah. So what you do is they have to change it in the bag right there on set.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're done, you know, they got to put a core in it, and then they'd have to put it in the can, all in the bag. And then when you're done filming, you have to take it to the lab. The lab would process it. You know, I wouldn't do it myself.
No.
It's too big. And then after it's processed in the bag, it would be transferred to a tape, and then the tape would then be colored and then edited. So,
is it easier today than when it was back then?
Well, you know, it's easier. But here's the thing: like I tell all the newbies that I help mentor, some like the reality, some don't like the reality. So I explain to them, you know, you're all on your phone and you're all Google how to do this and how to do that and how to do this. And it was when I was coming up, you had to learn it. You had to bang on doors and make phone calls because there was no poking anybody, you know, Googling, no search engine, anything, like you had to do it. So, and
it took days
or weeks or months or years, and you had to just learn the hard way.
Right.
Whereas I'd say 80% of the kids that are doing it now wouldn't have the mental dexterity or mental toughness to do it that way. So they'd end up just doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's so easy, go to Best Buy, get some sort of camera, 1080 HD, some little, you know, gizmo, you know, some little remote head, and you know, you're an instant filmmaker. You're used to this, so instant rapper, instant filmmaker, you know. So
I want to ask you a question. Is there something you? I mean, just in case one of your teachers do happen upon this video, is there something you would like to tell them about focus?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. There's so many, you know, metaphors for that, certainly, but. I'll take the one where people need to focus on life, put it that way.
Many
people just they have an idea, they have a want, they have a desire, but they don't feel the need to focus to get it done. Everybody just thinks it's so It's so readily available, yeah.
Right. I always wanted to tell my teacher, see, I can talk as much as I want because now I'm on radio talking. So you can tell them, screw you, because I do have focus. I just didn't want to focus on the shit you wanted me to focus on.
There you go. You got a little rage in you, too.
I do.
You're an angry black woman.
That's right. No, I'm not. But I can be. Mm-hmm. So.
That was coming from a competition we had back.
That's right. Home. So everybody wants to be an instant photographer,
everybody.
Producer, developer. Yeah, yeah. Like, I want to make a movie.
I want to make a video. And then they all feel like after they've done two or three, they're ready to go to Hollywood, make $100 million Marvel film. And it's not the reality.
And they're really upset when it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, I explained to them. I said, listen, the knowledge you have as a 21-year-old filmmaker, if you look around, there's as fast as you learned, kids underneath you are learning faster than you.
Absolutely.
And they're getting better technology than you. And the ones that are smart identify me as someone who they can learn from.
Right.
So I get to beat them up in a good way in terms of their rates and their gear and their cameras, mm-hmm. than calling on my friends who are doing much bigger things, right. who have normal rates, union rates and whatnot. So the younger ones that I need for a smaller job, independent job, that are good, I'll hit them up or they'll hit me up and I say, I got a job, this is the rate. And they'll say, yeah, I'm down to do it. But the dumb ones will be like, well, this is my rate, this is this. I'm like, guys, this, you're going to hit a ceiling, which your ceiling is really low. And once you hit that ceiling, you're going to look around and realize that you're surrounded by 1,000 other yous. Mm-hmm. They're all doing the same exact thing, which is basically nothing. Mm-hmm. But you feel like you're so impressed with yourself that you deserve A, B, C, D, and E, but you're really not.
And how for yourself, how long did it take for you to realize, oh, I'm impressed with myself and there's so much more? Or didn't you not? You just like a worker?
I've just kept my head down and you look up. And I remember I was doing, so one of my good friends who shot my first film, his name is Martin Algren. He still lives in the city. He's from Sweden. I met him when he was a student at SVA. And he shot my first film as a DP. It was Colors of Rage. And he has since gone on to shoot House of Cards. He shot mm-hmm. Daredevil. He shot, you know, three or four different films. He shot high-end commercials, $2 or $3 million. And he had bumped up to me doing music videos before I had started. And he was doing a video with a guy named Martin Weiss, who's a very well-known music video and commercial director. Did a couple of films. And he said, yeah, this guy Martin Weiss did like 150 music videos. And I'm like, wow, 150? I ain't done one.
Right.
And within 3 years, I had like 350 videos after I got started, because I just kept my head down and just focused and just, it was determined just
did
to
sleep.
Kim will tell you, I rarely was sleeping 4 or 5 hours.
You sleep 4 hours.
4 or 5 hours. Now it's a little bit longer, but for many years, I'd stay up late and be up early, and I still get up early, right. Whether I'm in the West Coast or East Coast. I'm up 6:30.
Yeah, because you have a dual life, West Coast, East
yeah.
Coast.
So, but it's 6:30. No matter which coast I'm on, no matter if I could land in London, if it's 6:30 in the morning, I'll wake up 6:30 in the morning. I don't have that. I'm time zoneless.
Right.
Just because it's work.
Right. So clearly, you enjoy what you do.
Oh, absolutely, I love it. Yeah.
Because you know, I don't have people on my show who don't like what they do.
Yeah. No, I love what I do. So between having 5 different film projects and 4 different TV projects and 3 different platforms, I'm helping get off the ground. Mm-hmm. And some artists that I'm managing mm-hmm. and co-managing, mm-hmm. there's no time to...
So what is it that keeps you going?
Just a desire for success and a desire to prove to people in my life and just in the business that, you know, I'm not that guy you should have ever slept on, hated on, you know, try to block, just, you know, because there's so much of that.
Don't you think they've gotten it yet?
Most have, but some still haven't. You know?
So it keeps you energized.
Yeah.
Keeps you going.
Which is why I also stay in the gym every day. And
so you work out every day?
Every single day, 30, 40 minutes. There was one post, because I was in the gym the other day and somebody said, are you like 32 years old? No, I'm 50 years old. He couldn't believe it.
Right.
I said, well, it's just that I've been doing the same thing. Actually, I posted a picture of me in the gym. And I, with my
yeah,
abs,
I saw that.
And I basically, I was referring to a trait that doesn't get a lot of love, a trait that is associated with success, but doesn't get the same kind of love as like a lot of other adjectives, consistency.
5-5, yep.
So I said, you know, doing the same thing.
I call it wash, rinse, repeat.
Okay, yeah. So for 30 years, the same workout, 35 minutes a day, 40 minutes a day, good old fashioned dumbbells and crunches and shoulders, arms, chest, no fancy bands, no fancy,
just old school,
just
old world.
Yes. Feel.
Yeah, I know. I don't have to feel it. I can see it.
So 30 years of consistency.
It's Popeye-like.
So 30 years of consistency, you know, not drinking, no smoking, right. No drugs, just focused on.
Now, so that's, here's another question. So like you're around drugs, drinking.
Kim doesn't do that anymore.
You're
At least I don't think she does anymore.
No, but like there's no drinking, but you're around drinking, drugs.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know, the
yeah.
whole
all,
debaucherism.
Yeah.
So, like, what is it that keeps you, what is it that keeps you out of it? Because most people are weak of mind.
Well, a couple things. One, early on.
Did you ever?
No, never. So, as a young kid, I think it was, six or seven, you know, Italian household, you know, parents would always have some wine. I would look at wine and think it's going to taste like grape juice. Uh-huh. So, when I taste it, it doesn't taste like grape juice. I'm like, oh, I don't like that.
Right.
So, why would I drink it? So, All beer doesn't taste like ginger ale. So right. Sorry to be so simplistic, but that's what it was for me.
Right.
And then being out of, and I would hear stories about my friends drinking and then they would fall down and lose their teeth or wallet. And they, what happened last night? I mean, that's not exciting to me. No. So why would, and plus I'm a Virgo and I like to be in control. Why would I put myself in this situation?
Right. I think I know I've only been drunk like 5 times in my life and I don't like it. I don't like it either. I don't like losing that kind of control. Yeah. Plus, the first time I ever got drunk, I had alcohol poisoning and I was in bed for 5 days.
Wow.
And I came home with just my knickers and my top.
And for what it's worth, I so without being drunk, but people that do LSD and drugs, a topic of conversation I have a lot with people is I think that people that do drugs to enhance their artistry is cheating in the same way that athletes that take steroids use that to enhance their abilities. So some great artists, whether it's Jim Morrison, The Doors, or Edgar Allan Poe, the poet, I think if they're taking opium and doing drugs to enhance their artistry, it's like, that's cheating too.
Right. Okay. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Gosh. All right, so we're back from Beyond Potential. Blah, 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 rewind. Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm sweating like a donkey.
Open the window.
The window is open, I think. But anyway, it's normal. It's the palsies. You know,
I'm having
the palsies. Yes. My viewers know there's nothing that's a secret on this show. So, what were we talking about? There was something I asked you to come back at. I did the rage. We talked about
it. Oh, it was drugs and alcohol.
Yeah,
so drugs. About that,
yeah, right. How do you keep it? So now people are on your, because there's probably a lot of that on your set. Or how do you keep a good order? Kim lay down the law?
No. 9 times out of 10, everybody does weed. And 10 years ago, it was really taboo. Right. It used to be really everybody's going to hide in a trailer and do it.
Right.
But now with marijuana and CBDs being made legal pretty much all over the place, it's a lot in vaping.
Right.
Is someone vaping? Are they smoking weed? Are they smoking cigarettes? It's so hard to tell nowadays. Right. It's sort of just this you know, thing that studios and don't really concern themselves with. And you know, on set there'll be some Ciroc or whatever brand that's being supported by hip hop at the time. Mm-hmm. There's always some sort of alcohol, especially when most songs today are about
liquoring,
clubs, sex, and cars. It's right. Pretty much. From Migos on to
I don't know
to
Migos.
Nicki to
I know Nicki
to Cardi B. It's drugs, sex, and cars. And
I love
drinking.
Cardi B.
Yeah, it's yeah.
She's funny as hell.
She's in New York. Yeah, she's doing it. Well, she went from the pole to the Rolling Stone in a year. Well, and it's also.
Have you seen a lot of that? Like where somebody's gone from.
Well, no. See, the way I compare
or
is
an anomaly.
You take someone like. Artists from like the 60s, 70s, and 80s, if they were a star, take Madonna, Michael Jackson. Right. They had careers that lasted, you know, 20, 30. Well, Michael longer because he was mm-hmm. a child star. But for the most part, a lot of the stars from that time could have 20-year careers.
Right.
And then you fast forward to someone like Lady Gaga, who's had like a good 10-year career.
Right.
And someone like Nicki Minaj, six to seven-year career. And now Cardi in a year.
Right.
And it's just getting...
And she's what, 20?
26. What I'm saying is like, okay. With the... Once downloading became the thing, and record stores closed, and video stations closed down, it's everything's on the web.
Right.
It just changed commerce. And for 2 or 3 years, it screwed up the labels really bad. Because they, you know, if DMX sold 1 million albums in 1 week, that was basically $16 per CD. They were making $16 million in 1 week.
Right.
Nowadays, if someone like Drake gets a billion views in a week, that's still only like $1.5 million. So like there's because they equate 3,000 views and 2,000 streams and something else, that's like one sale. So like it's what I call,
oh, wow.
It's what I refer to as manipulated data. It's like it's numbers and it's algorithms. It's not actually someone coming out with $16 saying, I'm buying your music.
Right.
That still exists. It's what we call the super fan will always buy that package of the artist they like, whether they're a veteran artist or a new artist, they'll buy the hoodie, this actual CD, and some other, you know, stuff. Merch that they can buy.
Right.
They'll do it. But for the most part, it's just a crazy time of commerce, and it's really hard to determine who's really... I think I read somewhere that Nicki was like the number one, as a female artist, has the most number ones more than anybody. But you can't
But I've heard that Cardi B has
the most
number ones on the charts.
Even
they still do charts.
There's so many charts and there's so many different versions and it's basically you have to asterisk it compared to, you know, the 70s and 80s, 50s and 60s because those are real sales, it's just hard to really you know. I mean, 50 years from now, you will still hear the classics being played. You won't be hearing many tracks mm-hmm. from today's artists.
No, I don't think so.
It's just a different thing.
Yeah. So in terms of sales, like, are people, because I haven't bought any music for the longest time.
It's all about streaming now. It's all about streaming.
So how do they make money if I'm just streaming?
It's ads that are associated with it. And they really make money more from their merch and their touring than they do in their brand deals than actual selling music.
Oh, okay. So the more, so that's why I'm seeing them getting ads on different shows and merchandise and things like that. Because I was thinking that, oh, their records are doing really, really well, and that's how they're getting the.
No, you could have song on. It's mostly still radio still dominates. Mm-hmm. Where if you get a song on the radio, that leads to corporate branding and TV shows. So radio still is dominant in that way, but not all artists are contingent on radio. They can have a big enough fan base unto themselves that they built on themselves, but at some point they'll go to that record deal because the label will give them, you know, big enough money where they'll say, okay, I'm done being independent, give me that big check,
right.
And now I'll go that way.
But they don't necessarily have to.
Right.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. So let's talk about your new movie, your new project, Cracker.
Yes, Cracker.
Yeah, I just want to say I had a friend that I've got the flyer, the poster, the picture of the, what would you call it? picture the flyer of the label.
Some artwork, yeah.
Some artwork for Cracker on my website. And my friend was like, why do you have that on there? Like, what is that about? What, that doesn't, it's weird. There's nothing, there's no context. I'm like, what do you see? And he's like, I just see a man, you know, hanging or whatever. But what does it say to you? It doesn't say anything. What is it about? It doesn't fit your brand. It doesn't. I said, don't worry about it.
Right, yeah. Right.
So tell us about Cracker.
So,
and what had you do Cracker?
So Cracker basically is.
Have you ever been called a cracker?
Yeah. Well, I remember it was from 1988, I was. Mm-hmm. And that's just, I remember that word. 1988.
You were called a cracker.
Yeah. So
when I first heard that word, I was like, cracker? Why'd you call them a cracker? Like, because I was thinking of a cookie.
Yeah.
I was thinking of a cheese cracker. All right, Kim, whatever. Go ahead.
So basically it's the reverse of the, you know, N-word.
Right.
So
can I say nigger? It's the reverse of the N-word,
yeah,
nigger.
Yeah.
Right, I don't even say it.
I can reference it as like nigger. Like, right. I say it like that. And then, right, when I'm talking to rappers and hip black people, because they know who I am, my culture, and they,
right,
I can get away with that, you know.
Right.
Which is just in context.
There's certain circles that you're in.
Yeah.
It's like you wouldn't walk down the street and see a group of black men and go.
No. But people that know me,
yeah,
I can use it.
So does anybody come up to you and say, what's that, my wigger?
No.
Because that's old school, right? That's like an old school word.
Really old.
Okay. It's so stupid. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So basically, I had the mid 2016, I had a new manager, a new, mm-hmm, agent that were taking me around to studios, and I was getting scripts, and they said, what you should do by the end of the year is get us a new narrative reel, like, mm-hmm, a clip, a short of some kind that really shows that you can really delve into narrative.
Right.
Even though I've done narrative before, there were older pieces, and there was sort of like in my, what I call my film school years, because, mm-hmm, Kim and I produced a couple independent films, we sold them. So, mm-hmm, rather than being a student spending $60,000 a year or whatever,
yeah,
it was,
makes
for
4 sense.
Years, coming out with nothing, I actually spent that money on making films and sold them. So
smart.
So even though I could do it, it's just from that point in time when I did those films that you saw, like Colors of Rage, mm-hmm, after doing a thousand music videos.
Was it a hip hop witch?
The hip hop witch, yes. Which was, yeah, a spoof of the Blair Witch Project.
And there was another one.
Urban Massacre, yeah.
Right.
It was a hip hop spoof, yes, horror film. So after doing a couple of those, I started doing music videos, and I really learned my lighting and my style, and, mm-hmm, I just really,
like me and my show.
Yeah, so I really came on my own. So now, what, all these years later, I needed to come up with something crispier, something glossier, something just more in-depth and solid. So,
right,
I had been working on a biopic on Crispus Attucks, a runaway slave, for many, many years, mm-hmm, and I said, you know what?
Wasn't he one of the first slaves to actually die in the,
yeah,
Civil,
no, no,
War?
No, 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 not Civil War. No, his death in the streets of Boston is what created the Boston Massacre.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What people don't know, and actually a lot of black people don't know his story either, don't even know his name. Not that that's good or bad, because, yeah, I don't know all these white heroes or whatnot, but it was an argument over local colonials who were working the docks as opposed to the redcoats who wanted to take their jobs. And, mm-hmm, that's what it came out. And he came out of a bar and he was sticking up for his fellow colonials and he got shot and that created that.
Okay,
Boston Massacre. So, I figured what I would do to get my new team sort of a narrative reel. Out of that piece that I was working on, I said, let me focus in on the auction, the slave auction, which was always something we always see in a film or a series like Roots. But let me just delve into that to really just harness that emotion, that degrading moment. Work with a really great actor, and make that powerful. And then, so what happened when I was working on planning that out and when I would do it at the end of the year, Trump happened and then, mm-hmm, Charlottesville happened. And then I would, which was disturbing on so many levels, and was even more disturbing is I would see on social media like Facebook, the sort of just, oh, you know, it just happened kind of a thing. And no
And
outcry.
Who were these people that would say, oh, it just happened?
Well, you know, I would see that, you know, in general, it was just a lot of white people that was, you know, of course there was, you know, a lot of liberals and Democrats would be like, this is disgusting, this is horrible. But then the other side, mm-hmm, conservatives, Republicans, Trump supporters, yeah, it would be like, well, this is, you know, hey, it happens, you know, what can you do? I'm like, wow, this is the response. And then I would see friends on Facebook that maybe I played hockey with at 8 and 9 years old, or mm-hmm. went to school with at 10 or 11 years old, who are now grown men and women. One would post a meme of a Muslim getting fucked by a donkey, and I was like, wow, this is disturbing. And
and
he wouldn't see that there was anything wrong with that.
Right.
And then I would see other people talk about one or several of the unarmed black men getting killed, shot in the back or choked, and have comments like, well, my parents didn't own slaves, has nothing to do with me, and he probably deserved it. And I'm like, wow, this is what you take? You're a 50-year-old, 45-year-old person. This is what you think?
Right.
This is okay? And I said, wow, what would make these ignorant people, these dum-dums, these friggin' morons, what would make them see that this is wrong? I mean, it wasn't like slavery in this context was tens of thousands of years ago. It was still just 100 years ago.
Right, 100
years. And then...
Yeah.
You know, segregation in the 50s, the 60s, it was just it was like yesterday.
Yes,
and
pretty much. I would say just like maybe two lifetimes.
Yes. So I was like, what would make these idiots see that this is wrong? And of course, some know that, you know, just through social media, I'm married to a black woman. And mm-hmm. I said, what would make these idiots see that this is wrong? So then it hit me. I said, I said, what if it was their 9-year-old daughter getting raped, or mm-hmm. their 100-year-old sweet as pie grandmother getting cracked right in the face with a stick?
Mm-hmm.
I said, that might do it. And then sure enough, the thought of that, and then me talking about it with certain people, they're like, oh, that would be crazy. So I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do for my reel. Just flip the world and just have like a 8-minute piece. And mm-hmm. then some people heard about it and said, that'd be a great little short film.
Right.
So I said, okay, let me use this as a backdoor pilot into TV, because at this point in time, Stranger Things was huge on TV. Outlander, one of my favorite shows, is a love story that's time travel related. Right. And then that's what led to me doing Cracker.
Mm, interesting. So when we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Cracker and not the cookie that I thought it was. It's a cracker.
Cracker.
All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we are back in our last segment. I mean, I could go on forever in Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way with Rage, Dale, aka Rage Restigini. I didn't mess up your name.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
What's a Kim story I don't know that you can ask, that you can tell
What's
me about?
What's a Kim story? Oh, when we had a fight in the park one time where it was
Look at her face.
It was a friend's birthday.
Look at her face.
But no, I really learned something out of that. And it, like, we had a fight in the park. She wanted me to roller skate with her. It was roller skating again. And I said, oh, I'm sitting down because I wanted to eat cake. She was like, you shouldn't be eating cake anyway, like this. And I said, Kim, I want to eat cake. I'll be out there in a minute. But I never got out to skating. So we had to skate home and I was really disappointed. So she was mad at me. And I was like, why are you so mad at me? I just wanted to eat cake. You didn't eat cake. So anyway, she stomped upstairs. So I'm down. We were married at the time. I'm upstairs. She's upstairs.
You and Kim were married together?
No, she's married upstairs. Okay. I'm married downstairs. And
what, she was married before?
Shut up, right? The secret's out. And my husband's like, I am just not going to listen to you bitch about this. Get it sorted. And then he's upstairs going, get it sorted. So they come down. She comes out in a dressing gown. I'm in the baby doll outfit like this. Right? And like, I really love Kim. But you know how you just, we didn't express that. We just knew that we loved each other, but we never expressed it. And in that moment, I realized, you know, our relationship is more important than me being right. And so we talked, we hugged, we kissed, and that was it. We were back to friends again. But you know what? That moment has lived with me for many years.
That like, cake moment?
No, the moment of like, you know, we could have thrown away the relationship over cake.
Right.
Me wanting to eat cake, her wanted to skate. She didn't get what she wanted. I got what I wanted, which is a cake. Then I had to skate all the way home.
Oh.
So that's a story that has really been important
to me.
Okay,
good. I'm glad I know that story now.
So, okay, so what do we need to talk? Oh, so tell the people about streaming, how that impacts. Does it impact you as a videographer?
I mean,
producer, director.
Netflix, companies have been born from streaming. Netflix was the first to really do it. Now, Amazon and Hulu, they actually, I mean, they're basically studios now. They compete with major motion picture studios like the Sonys and Paramounts. For the same kind of films. As a filmmaker, there's a lot more outlets for stuff. I mean, I just saw one movie. So I'm a member of SAG, and this year I'm a part of the SAG nomination committee, so I get a lot of...
Ooh, you are?
Yeah, so I
got a lot of watching movies.
A lot of movies. And like, I just saw one. I was actually texting Kim last night. I said, it's really freaking good. It's Ben's Back. It's a Julia Roberts film about her son who's a drug addict who comes back after being...
Oh, Ben's Back.
Yeah, it's called Ben's Back. And... it's so well done. It's the kind of movie that won't go into theaters just because it doesn't have that big an audience. But it's the kind of film that will get streamed like crazy because Julia Roberts is a household name.
Right.
And it's done really, really well. So there's that whole market.
She's in another movie on Netflix, Homecoming.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one yet. But there's a whole market for successful filmmakers and actors who are all trying to get these deals with these streaming companies because streaming companies are all about talent that have a market, a fan base.
Right.
Because they feel like if I can get Brad Pitt to do three movies with us or Adam Sandler, who just did a few movies with I think Netflix, like they're going to get that fan base and that market share and they'll subscribe. So it's a.
Do you watch Prime? I do a lot of Amazon Prime.
Prime, yeah. A show that I love is Man on the High Castle.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's basically if the U.S. had lost World War II, and Japan and Germany control America.
Yeah, I've seen
it. And it's on the same high level as Game of Thrones in terms of production. But there's few that have those kinds of budgets, but that's one of them. And as a matter of fact, the creators of Game of Thrones actually love Cracker. My lead in Cracker, Lorenzo, who's actually from Queens, is good friends with those guys. And then they had a show that they were working on called The Confederate, which is now not happening. It's basically if the South had won. And because it's related to somewhat similar to Cracker, they said, this is incredible. So it's good. You know, you're on the right track when people who are very successful in your medium. Even if they actually are... They tell you what you're doing is really good,
right?
And you know it's genuine. You know you're on the right track.
So talking about genuine, so like in this arena that you're in, are a lot of people sort of like full of it?
Oh, I mean, I think every industry, whether you're the manager at McDonald's and you get somebody trying to come up to be another manager, you can have haters in that world.
So do you have a lot of haters?
We all have a lot of haters. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I better not have any hate. I have probably
you've got
haters.
Tons of
I got
haters.
Probably got tons of haters.
You got people on live right now that are hating
me
you right now.
Hate me, hate me, hate me, and watch me more. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead,
so haters are everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Cardi B has haters too.
I know she does. She talks about her haters all the time. Yeah. She calls what she says about. She's always talking about their stinky pussies. Cardi B is hysterical. Okay, let's now I'm back to it. All right, that's enough. Don't get me starting to laugh because it won't stop. So we're in our final segment. What's a question? I usually ask this. What's a question you'd like me to ask you, and then I'll ask you?
God, that's a... I don't know.
It's like reading your tea leaves.
Yeah, a question that I want you to ask me.
Yeah. What's a question that nobody's ever asked you that you would like them to ask?
That takes a lot of thought to even think about that.
I know.
If I was like 10, it would be really easy.
Like, pretend like you're 10 then.
But like, you know... what's my favorite toy? I mean, I don't know.
What's your favorite toy?
I don't have time. Kim. I don't have any time for toys at this point.
No, seriously, what's your favorite thing to do other than working out?
It's watching movies and just it's escaping because I don't drink, I don't smoke, don't do drugs. Uh-huh. So I will take time out to watch a movie or a really good series because that's like my mental break.
Right.
From all this, because even when I'm working out, my phone's right on me, and I'm working on my phone in between sets. I'm sending texts. I'm having ideas on scripted shows and right. films, so it's nonstop. But when I'm watching a movie, when you're in the theater, you have to turn your phone.
Right.
On. But even that.
When was the last time you went? When was the last time you took a vacation?
We haven't had a vacation in 20 years. But we have working vacations. We've been to Australia. Okay. We've been to Malaysia. We've been to Singapore.
Right.
So, you know.
You take, so you.
When we literally get on a plane mm-hmm. and wear suitcases, oh, that feels like vacation. You go to a hotel, vacation. It's vacation.
So basically, I'm going to assert that your life is integrated. You integrate all the parts of your life into what you do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the key of successful person.
Yeah. And because, you know, we've been very humbly successful, mm-hmm. been bi-coastal for 8 years mm-hmm. now, having an apartment out there, an expensive home here in New Jersey, which I say expensive only because it's expensive, and mm-hmm. so you have to work nonstop mm-hmm. to afford that lifestyle. The next 2 or 3 years are extremely important. Mm-hmm. So I'm still young and healthy. As you get older, you want to be able to have that's why I'm working on these three different platforms and these various films and TV shows, because you want to have these revenue streams continue to finance you for the next 30, 40 years.
Right, and keep Kim in bags.
Yes, yeah.
Cash bag. Is it cash bags? Cash queen. Cash queen bags. So, what is it? What time? How much time do we have left? God damn it. We only got 4 minutes left. So, I just want to thank you, like, really, for coming on my show, because you didn't have to. You don't have to. You've been on lots of great shows.
I had to.
Sure.
No. Kim told me I had to.
Really? Thank you, Kim. You had to.
Yeah, I said, "Do we ever go to the city tonight?" It's like an hour away. She goes, "We have to go. It's right. Nor.
Right.
It's Noreen. We fought over cake before in the park. You have to go."
So no, I really enjoyed being on. I really enjoyed you being on the
show.
She's
like the slowest roller skater, but I still love her.
I am. I'm a terrible roller skater.
She's great at drinking wine and all
No, I don't drink wine anymore. I gave it
up. But you did back then in Brooklyn.
Yeah, but I didn't do very much of it. I couldn't. I can't hold my liquor. Goes right to my legs, straight to my legs. It does, and then I get giddy. And
Kim makes the best Yorkshire pudding.
You do?
She does. She's shaking her head no, but she does.
So, how is marriage for you? Because what sustains your marriage? That's a big question. Because you're successful, you're busy, you're bi-coastal.
I think what's is
you got all those booty shakers that are in your face all the time.
They've been in the face from the beginning. She knows that. I think because we're both on the same page. We both understand and respect what this is. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't understand it or get it, we would have broken up many, many times over. So.
And what would you say to somebody that is starting out in this industry? What was one tip you'd give to them?
You got to say, anybody in your way or trying to stop you or telling you you're not good enough, you got to say, fuck you, get the fuck out of my way, I'm doing what the fuck I want, and prove you all fucking wrong.
Excellent. So this is Dea Restigini on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I absolutely love that. I love that. Get the fuck out of my way. Let me do what I got to do. And you got to be brave. You got to be bold, and you have to live life your way.
You will roll over them, run through them. You will clobber them. But they're not going to stop you.
That's right. That's right. So thank
you. I'm living proof.
That's right. So thank you so much. Oh, sorry. I do this thing. Oh, hang on. Wait, let me do it again. So thank you for being on the show. And
you can have Kim come say hi in front of the camera.
Come and say hi. Quick, you got 1 minute. Come.
Bring the cake.
I love her.
Thank you so much. Living beyond potential.
She did it. I'm proud of her.
Thank you so much. See you guys soon. Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio, Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.